For our scripture this morning, turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Zechariah, the third chapter. We'll be reading the second verse, page 967, if you're using the Scofield Reference Bible. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 2. We'll be turning to yet another place after we read that passage, but first we'll read this second verse of the third chapter of Zechariah. And shall we please all stand, as is our custom to do, everyone standing for the reading of God's Word. And begin with me, please, there with verse 2, and we'll read it together. Ready? And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? And now turn to the book of John, the 15th chapter. John chapter 15, and we'll be reading verses 1 and 2, page 1136 in the Scofield Reference Bible. We'll read also in unison these two verses, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 15 of the book of John. Begin with me, please. Ready? I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And let's pray. Lord, we look to thee now in this hour. We're here because we want to be and because you've given us the health and strength to be. We thank you for this place, but we thank thee for what happens in this place Sunday by Sunday. Father, some miraculous things are about to take place. Help our hearts to be open. Help our minds to be attentive. Help us to be receptive concerning thy word and the preaching of it. Bless our preacher with power. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now for the next 30 minutes, I want you to listen very, very carefully. It could mean your eternity, and it could mean your happiness in life. Now, say what you want to say, Christ is still the answer. And the Word of God has all the answers for your life. If you could ever get to the place to where going to church was more than going to church, but it was a place to hear God's man bring God's message to give you the answers for your life, it'd be a great day for you. This is more than people coming inside a building, looking up to heaven and saying, God, we know you're there and we're mighty fond of you. It's more than that. It's more than that. As I'm going to say after a while, God has a purpose for your life. The least important person in this room this morning, as far as man counts importance, has a plan in heaven written down by God for his life. There is a reason why the doctor told your mom and dad that you were here. There is a reason why God made you an individual. And I want to talk to you this morning for about 29 more minutes along that line on the subject, are you a brand or a branch? We read in Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 2 about the brand plucked from the burning. A brand is a piece of wood prepared to burn or burning. It's a piece of wood that will be burned or is burning. And a branch, of course, you know what that is. It's connected to the life of the tree and receives life from the tree. Every person in this room this morning is either a brand or a branch. I rarely ever preach an evangelistic sermon. Rarely ever. If you'll go back and listen to my tapes or check my outlines, you'll find that on very rare occasions do I preach an evangelistic sermon. This morning, however, my sermon will be one of my rare evangelistic messages. So I want you to listen carefully and prayerfully. Our Heavenly Father, I'm grateful that in your great divine plan, you had a place for me. My place is not as big as some or as small as others, but it's your plan for my life. And I'm grateful that through the help of preachers and teachers, as they were led by the Holy Spirit, that plan was revealed to me, And I'm thankful to be a co-laborer with Jesus Christ. What an honor. What a privilege. And now this morning in this hour, I pray that your plan shall be revealed and a willingness to do your plan shall be had in all of our lives. Amen. I hold in my hand this morning what I'm going to call a brand. I have taken this piece of wood and I am going to burn it, not this morning, but I'm going to burn this piece of wood in order that I may call it a brand. A brand would be some kindling wood or some logs that you might have in your garage or in your home that you plan to burn during the winter months. This, consequently, is a brand. For this is a piece of wood that will be burned. But to me, there's something sad about this piece of wood, and I'm going to talk about it for the whole sermon this morning. And I want you to listen very carefully. There's something sad about this piece of wood, because this piece of wood, hear me, is not doing what it was made to do. This piece of wood has been cut off from its source of life. Once it was a part of a tree. There was a time when leaves, buds and leaves came from this branch. But now it's a brand. It is not doing what God made it to do. Now listen to me. There is a purpose for your life. Dr. Wendell Evans has found that purpose in being the chancellor and leader on site of Hiles Anderson College. Dr. C.W. Fisk has found his purpose in leading the soul-winning ministry of this church and being my associate pastor. Dr. John Colston has found his purpose in life by encouraging and blessing and strengthening and comforting people who are sad and sick. Ray Bordway has found his purpose in life by directing the music of First Baptist Church of Hammond and by being employed by the NIPSCO company. Brother Sullivan's found his purpose in life by working and leading, being superintendent of the Hammond City Rescue Mission. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God has a purpose for your life. There is a reason why you are here. It matters not how much money you accumulate. If you do not do that thing for which God made you, you failed in your little tenure here on this earth. Matters not how popular you are, how powerful you are, how big, turn me down about that much, please, just a trifle. How big you are in social standing, how high, you are a failure. I said you are a failure if you have not found and are not doing that purpose for which God Almighty made you. There is not a bus child that will stumble from the ghetto steps to our bus steps and run from our bus steps to our Sunday school this morning and run back to the ghetto this afternoon to be unloved and uncared for and forgotten so soon. There's not a child, regardless of how little, regardless of how poor, regardless of how unloved or neglected, there is not a child that'll be in our Sunday school this morning for whom God does not have a purpose in life. Now listen to me. You have no right in this world, in your life, to do what you want to do. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You have no right to choose where you live. You have no right to choose where you work. You have no right to choose whom you'll marry. You have no right to choose where you go to school. You have no right to choose what you do with your life. You belong to God. And because you belong to God, you are His. He owns you. And if you have not given that which He owns to Him,
you are as guilty or more so of thievery as if you went to the Hoosier Bank tonight and robbed the Hoosier Bank. You belong to God. There's something sad about this, Brian. It is not doing that thing for which God made it. Now what's missing? What's missing? There's only one thing missing, and that's the source of life. If this were connected properly, as it once was, to the source of life, then this brand would be a branch. And in being connected to the source of its life, it then would fulfill its purpose. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Again, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. That means this morning, if you are not connected to Jesus, you are not really living. Oh, but you say, preacher, I'll tell you what, I went nightclubbing last night, I had a big time, man, that's the life. That is not the life, you're not connected to the source of life. Bible says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. I was talking to a fellow one time, not far from here, he's a bartender, I'm sorry, he's a tavern owner. And he said to me, boy, he said, that's a dead place, church is a dead place. I said, no, sir, church is a place that's alive. He said, no. He said, boy, the life is out in the world. Drinking, wine, women, song, that's the life. And I said, no, sir, you're wrong. Why, he said, you come over to my place some Saturday night, and you will see what real life is. And I said, you come to my place some Sunday morning, and you will see the people that were at your place on Saturday night on the way back. I said, you get them going up, I get them coming down. You get them going out, I get them coming back. You get them while they think it's life, I get them when they know it's death. Listen to me, I do not care how much pleasure you think you're having, you are down a dead-end street unless you are living in God's will. Listen, this branch here is just as valuable to God Almighty this morning as you are if you're not connected to the source of life, who is Jesus Christ. What a tragedy. What a tragedy to waste your life satisfying the lust of the flesh, satisfying your own appetites, satisfying your own desires. There's something higher. There's something holier than that. There's something else I want to say about this brand this morning. This brand is missing something because it is not connected in any way to other branches. There's no way you can connect brands. Now you can do this. You can take another stick like this, and you can take them together, and take a splint, and put them together, but they're not connected. There's no connection. There is no life that flows from one brand to another brand. This brand is by itself. Did you know this morning, if you have never received Jesus Christ, you have no, listen, you have no real connection with any other human being on the face of this earth. That's why you're lonely. The loneliest man in this world is the man who's not saved because he's like that stick. He's connected with no life whatsoever between him and others. Brother Colston, you and I, we love each other. Now, folks will not believe this, and I'm a little weak. Normally, I would not say this about you. I'd be satirizing you. But we love each other. I love this man. And he loves me. I love him because God put the love there. He loves me because he's paid to love me. But you see, there's something. Come here, John. There's something between us. There is a life in me. That life is Jesus. There is a life in him. And that life is Jesus. So we are connected. There is a tie between us. Because we have the same Father, we're going to the same heaven, we've been saved from the same hell, we have the same Christ, we have the same blood that washed away our sins, and there's a tie between us, and that tie is something that there is not one way in the world that a person who's not saved can have it. Not a way, thank you, John. Why? Because Christ is in me, Christ is in him, I am a branch, he is a branch, Christ is the tree, Christ is the life. But if you're here this morning and you're not saved, that's why you have that lonely feeling. You are a brand. You have been severed from the life giver, And because of that, not only do you not have life in you, but you do not have a definite contact and life-giving union with any other person on the face of the earth. Listen, you wait, you go to the nightclubs and live it up. Now, when you get in trouble, go back and get help. Go to the tavern, live it up. Hey, they pat you on the back. Hey, we're having a big time. You get in trouble. Hallelujah, what you'll do, you'll come right through that door over there, right down my hallway, knock on my door, make an appointment with me, get somebody to ask you if I can see you. Why? Because you know as well as I know, there is no life-giving connection between those who are not saved because they have no connection that pulls them together. Last night, people went to nightclubs all over this world trying to find what we have here at First Baptist Church. This last week, lodges met. You say, are you preaching against lodges? Not right now, but you don't need one if you belong to an old-fashioned New Testament church. Lodges met, seeking what we have here at First Baptist Church. We don't need it. Clubs met. Last week at noon all across this land, Rotary clubs and Kiwanis clubs and Lions clubs and others, they met. And I'm not fighting those things, but I'm saying they're seeking something. What are they seeking? They're seeking by superficiality. Woo, I like that one. They're seeking by this thing I just got through saying. They're seeking a union just like you would take two brands and splint them together. But those of us who found Jesus Christ as our Savior have not only received life from Him, but we have been connected in a vital way to every other believer. And we have a happiness and a unity and union that nobody else knows about. Amen. This morning I came out of my office. John Olson met me there. Louis Schoaf met me there. We cut up a few minutes. I told Louis, I said, you sure look pretty this morning. If you just do something about from the neck up, you'll be okay. October the 5th, he has a new suit on this morning. And God knows if anybody needs help, he needs help. And I'm glad always. And I said, if you're a tailor and a plastic surgeon could get together, you'd be a handsome man. Now, don't you see that good spirit we have? I'm saying that I felt warm in my soul this morning when I saw John Olson. Why? Because the same blood runs through our veins. The same life gives us eternity with Christ. And we are together because we are branches on the same tree. Walked over with Louis Shaw. Dick Miles, Lieutenant Miles, waiting for me out here. Talked to him a while. And Dr. Streeter met me out here. Talked to him a while. Dick Liebig usually is out there. We discuss our weight. He tells me how much he weighs, and I tell him how much he weighs. And then we discuss our weight with each other. I'd rather spend 5 minutes with a blood-washed child of God in sweet fellowship and shake his hand than spend a lifetime with a hypocritical world that just sucks the blood out of you and leaves you dying. Why? Because there's no life. None whatsoever. Oh, let me tell you, I'd hate for my life not to be worth any more than that stick right there. And that's what your life is. This is not fulfilling its purpose. This does not have life in it, and this does not have any contact whatsoever with another brand. But there's something else about it. And that is, it has no leaves. This branch was meant to join, or this brand was once a branch. It was meant to join with dozens of other branches to have foliage, buds, and then leaves. And who of us has not enjoyed in the heat of a summer afternoon sitting beneath the shade of a tree whose branches joined together to lend shade? So I'm saying there are no leaves. None can rest beneath its shade. If you want to rest this afternoon beneath its shade or on a hot summer day, get underneath this and see what good it does. Or try or to pluck some fruit off of it. Or look at it for its beauty. Look at it. Spend this afternoon looking at that and see how pretty it is. This branch could have been beautiful. But it's not. Why? Because it is not connected with the source of life. That's why. And you cannot be beautiful. I said you cannot be beautiful till you are connected with Him who is the life giver. And all of that, you cannot have any, be a blessing in life or have any comforting value to humanity until you come to Jesus Christ. No leaves, no fruit. I was thinking a while ago, I haven't played golf all week. I haven't been bowling all week. I haven't been to a movie all week. I haven't been to a ball game all week. I haven't been to a circus all week. But bless God, I have purpose in life. You say, what do you do for fun? I did keep 1,400 college students in Christian colleges this week. I did oversee and keep 1,600 children in Christian schools this week. I did try to cheer and counsel with 140 people in my study this week. I did try to unite homes this week. I did win some souls this week. I did help young people plan their future this week. I did counsel with 17 preachers having trouble this week. I did teach the Word of God to thousands this week. And bless God, I have a purpose in life. There's a reason I exist. I don't get up and eat and go to work and then come home and eat and watch the television and go to bed and just sleep and get up and eat and go to work and come home and eat and watch television and go to bed and sleep and get up and eat and go to work and work and come home and eat and watch television and go to bed and go to sleep and get up and eat and work and then come back home and eat and watch television and go to sleep. Listen, bless God, there is a will of God for my life. I found it. And I would not live that many minutes in life unless I found the reason I was here. Oh, you think you're so smart. Oh, you think you've got more sense than the omniscient God Almighty has. Oh, you think you have more power than the God who made the world has. There is a God in heaven today who knows everything. There's a God in heaven today who has all power. There's a God in heaven today who is everywhere. He knows what is best for you. And yet you put your little up against that God. I'll go where I want to go. I'll be what I want to be. I'll say what I want to say. I'll marry whom I want to marry. I'll work where I want to work. I'll live in whatever city I want. You are a fool. You dare to shake off God's divine plan for your life, and in so doing, you're not worth any more than that stick is. God didn't put you on this old world so you could enjoy a few appetites. God didn't put you here so you could live it up and have fun. God put you here for a purpose, to fulfill His will for your life. Last night, in my long line of appointments, it started at 5:30 and ended at 10:15, I guess. 10:30. Last night, one of my appointments was a young man, Paul Moffat. And Paul and I talked about his future, about his marriage, about plans for his life. Paul teaches school down here at our Bus Kids High School. Fine young man. Preaches down here for our C&D Sunday School every Sunday afternoon. Serving God, giving his life for others. His life is built. His wife is on our staff here at the church. His life is built around the church here, trying to help other people. He got up and left, and I put my arm on his shoulder, and I said, Paul, it's hard to believe that one day we sat in here together when you were a teenage lad, and I begged you to go to Hammond Baptist High School. You were the outstanding young pitcher on the baseball team at Hammond High. Your hit name was in the headlines. And you wanted to keep going so you could become a baseball pitching star. And I sat there in the office and I said, but Paul, there's something bigger than that. There's something bigger than that. And I begged and I pleaded and I pleaded and I begged. And finally, after persuasion, Paul said, okay, preacher, I'll think about it. And now he's found something bigger than that. He's down there right now this morning influencing those lives of poor little ghetto teenagers that nobody else much loves and cares for. Hey, buddy, that's 10,000 times better than throwing a round baseball at a stick down across the pasture somewhere. A purpose. I'm not going to live my life a stick like that cut off from God and the source of life. I'm not going to live my life offering no shade, no comfort, no fruit, no help, no encouragement to anybody. I'm going to find the purpose of God for my life, and I'm going to get right in the middle of it. And I'm going to make my life as useful and as fruitful as I can. As Paul left, I thought about that one family, and all the prayers and tears and counseling I've invested in that one family. Thought about his older brother, Glenn. Grew up in our church and went out into sin, left the will of God for his life. Remembered how he came long-haired and ill-shaven to my study one night, and I pleaded with him to get right with God and get out of the wrong crowd. And he didn't do it. And I pleaded more with him. He didn't do it. But I recall that night I was driving home late at night down May Street. Somebody tried to curb me. It was late, and there's a time when I had been threatened several times, and I was a little bit apprehensive, which means scared. And I was driving down the street, and somebody tried to curb me. They flashed the lights on and off. And finally, I pulled over beside the road, thought maybe somebody needing help. And it was Lynn Moffitt. Then I got out of the car, and he said, "Preacher, can you help me?" And I tried to help him. And he began to grow in grace. And now he's one of our youth directors here at the church, working for God. Married to one of our fine young ladies, a wonderful Christian. And I thought about Mark Moffitt. I prayed for Mark, and what a fine young man Mark has become, and how he wants to serve God. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There's not a National Football League player today that'll have more fun than I had thinking last night about the purpose and usefulness of life. A brand or a branch? What are you? A lifeless, empty, unattached, ex-limb, a brand? Or are you a branch connected to Jesus who gives life and pulls you together to the finest family in the world, God's family, with a purpose and will in your life? Which are you? Something else about this brand. Not only will it offer no leaves to cool someone on a hot day with shade, not only will it never offer any fruit for someone to enjoy, not only is it not connected with any other brand, it's just on its own. There's something else about this brand. You see these little places here? Dr. Evans, they'll not blossom in the spring. No resurrection to this. Just a brand. It's just a brand, no resurrection. In the springtime, had it stayed on the tree, you would have seen little buds opening, little buds opening up. In the springtime, had it stayed on the tree, you would have seen leaves coming, and that which is dead all winter would rise. But not for this. And this morning, if you're not connected to Jesus Christ, neither would you rise. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. It'll mean nothing to you who are not saved. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. It'll mean nothing to you who are not saved. The only way you can rise is according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. It says, "The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if that Spirit dwell in your mortal bodies, that same Spirit will also quicken your mortal bodies." I want to say this. This limb will never grow. It can't grow. It can't bless. It can't give leaves. It can't give fruit. It can't be connected with other brands. It's just that, and it'll never grow. Come back next year. It's not burned yet. It'll be the same size it is now. Come back 10 years from now. It's not burned yet. It'll be the same size it is now. It won't grow at all. I was in Texas not long ago, in July. I borrowed a car and drove by the last house we lived in. Moved out of it 19 years ago last August.
the people were sitting out in the front yard. And there was a big tree that covered the whole yard, nearly. And they were having the biggest fun. They were eating something out there in the shade on a hot Texas day. And I said to myself, I planted that tree. I planted that tree. And because it was connected to life, it grew and grew and grew and grew. Now I'll give you a closing thought. See that? There's nothing connected to other brands or branches. There's nothing that gives it life. There's nothing about it that can do anything for you. It can't give you leaves or fruit, and it can't grow. Hey, there's something it can do. There's something that this limb can do that the limb on the tree out there can't do.
One thing only. What?
Burn. Burn. And that's all you can do that a Christian can't do, is burn.
In hell! Forever!
Last night I was in my office. If you'd have walked by my office about 10:30 or 10:40, you'd have heard me saying, glory to God. Praise the Lord. You know why? It dawned on me. I never thought of it like this. I can't go to hell. You know why? Because I can't burn. I can't burn. Huh? Go out there and try to burn down one of those trees that's alive today. And get an old dead limb and burn it.
There's something inside of a tree that's life. There's sap and life in it. And it can't burn.
And there's something inside of me that means I can't go to hell. Because if I did, I couldn't even burn. Old Billy Bray used to say, glory to God, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And somebody said, Billy, he said, what are you going to do if you go to hell? He said, I'll just shout all the way to hell. Glory to God, praise the Lord, I'm born again, hallelujah. And the devil will walk up me and say, you can't shout down here. And I'll just say, I just didn't have a transfer anyway if it's okay with you. And I'll just shout all the way to heaven. You know, it's pitiful, really. I hate to look at it almost. There it is, look at it. There it is. It'll never give a leaf. It'll never bear any fruit. It'll never give any beauty of a springtime budding. It'll never grow. Sort of like some of you. Hey, look at me. This brand didn't feed anybody as hungry last week. Did you? Huh? Well, then you and this brand are feeding the same number of hungry people, aren't you? Huh?
This brand did not put a warm clothing on the back of anybody who was cold last week.
Did you? Huh, I see. Then you and this brand are giving the same amount of clothes out to poor people, aren't you? Huh?
This brand did not lead one sinner to Jesus Christ last week, did you?
I see. Then you and this brand have got a lot in common, haven't you? I'd hate to think that my place in life would be taken by an old stick. I'd hate to think that I didn't do more for people than an old stick. I don't know what you're going to do, bless God, but I'm not going to be like that. I'm not going to spend my life just like that. I'm going to get myself hooked up, as I already am, bless God, to the life giver, who is Jesus. And I'm going to have some leaves, and I'm going to offer shade to weary travelers. And I'm going to have some fruit, so I can offer refreshment to weary travelers. And I'm going to grow, so I can add more refreshment to weary travelers. Tragic, isn't it? Which are you? A branch or a brand? Let us pray.